All right. G'day, viewers. Welcome to the Tripod Live Show with Winnie and Clarkie. My name's Clarkie. We're here every Wednesday to preview every single NRL game and give you our best bets. I'm joined by my co-host, Winnie. Winnie, how you going, mate?
Going pretty well, thanks, mate. My Finns are still undefeated. That's the good news. The bad news is a rough Sunday arvo, which we touched on in the recap. That Doggies game cost us a best bet, cost us a mixed matchup. We didn't win the same game or your try score tip last week. So 1-1 of best bets. So I think 5-4 for the season, which is, you know, just a little better than mediocrity, but got a couple more to share this week and a super exciting round to unpack as well.
Awesome, mate. And if history is anything to go off, a 9-year tracked winning record, I don't think there's many punters who can say that, particularly around the NRL, when, as we know, how even the competition can be. With that being said, guys, we know what you all love. So let's get it straight up at the top of the show. It's time for the best bets presented by Lana Tradie Software. Lana helps tradies to ensure they win more jobs and never lose the lead again. If you're a tradie or any business owner looking for an edge, Lana is your best bet. Use the show code TPLIVE to save 10% off. Check out their website, book a consult, and find out a little bit more if you are interested. With that being said, Winnie, we know what the punters love. It's the best bets. Let's get them underway.
And here they are, opening game of the round. I am taking the Penrith Panthers. I think they're just going a lot better than Para. They're fresh. Para's had a horror draw. We've talked about a lot of the reasons why the season started so badly for them. Close but no cigar, 3 straight weeks. But this is almost an insurmountable task now, and I just can't understand. This line's lower than the grand final. Penrith seem to be nearly as good as the grand final team, whereas Parramatta seemed way off the side that they were last year. And then I'm going Manly. I can't quite understand why they're such a decent underdog on Saturday against the Bunnies. I see this game as a true coin flip. I think it's going to be a beauty of a Saturday night encounter, Turbo versus Luttrell. And I think with the forwards that Souths will be missing in this game, Manly's got every chance. So I just had to take the plus 5.5. So Penrith was minus $7.50, Ladbrokes. And Manly plus 5.5 is pretty much across the board, but I've got a $1.90 or better there. What do you reckon of those, Clarkie?
Mate, I'm with you on one of them. I won't reveal which one just yet. And one of them I absolutely love. The other I am going against you, but I'm going against the grain like I did the Warriors-Titans games last week. One thing I do love is that comment there from James Mackey. He says, Clarkie looks like foreign. I love it, baby. great comment, guys. And of course, we are. And Joey White, he's giving me a rap too. He says, Clark, he's a good looking fella. This is amazing. This is the best live show ever.
Mate, and this course, is what you get when your face is sat beside mine. It makes you look so good by comparison. So I'm doing your favor.
I've got a filter, multiple lights, studio. The missus has done my makeup before. But no, appreciate the comments, guys. Of course, we are live. So we love to bring the comments up and read them as we go through the show. With that being said, let's get onto the show. Let's get on to Thursday night. It's the Eels versus the Panthers. It's at CommBank Stadium. The line is set at -7.5 in the Panthers' favour. For the Eels, Madison returns for his first game from suspension. That moves Matt Dury to the bench. And Brendan Hanswinney, a young hooker, he's named for his debut off the bench. I don't know too much about him. For the Panthers, Scotty Sorensen returns from his head knock, so that moves Matt Eisenhuth, out of the side. I know how you're seeing this one. It's one of your best bets, but maybe a chance to elaborate a little bit more on why you like the Panthers in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one thing that piqued my curiosity this week was Brad Arthur being quizzed about the game and saying that he hasn't watched back the NRL Grand Final. And he made a comment like, look, if we work hard and we get there again, I might watch it because I can gain something from it. But at the moment, it's not going to do me any good. And I kind of thought, well, at the moment, you really need to win this game this week, and you do happen to be playing the team that tore you to smithereens last October. Wouldn't you watch it back just to see what they did? The sides aren't that different. So I don't know if he's kind of living in denial, and I'm just trying to understand in my mind why this game is going to be all that different to last year. I know that Penrith's had a couple of departures. I know they started slow, but I feel like they showed a lot of signs about still being a mean team that's still the team to beat in 2023 when they really nearly ran Souths off the park. And maybe Souths' late fight back made their game look closer than it was because it wasn't that close to the first hour. And now Penrith's been cooling their heels for a week as well, which is just ridiculous how the draw works out that Parramatta has to keep facing sides off a bye. It's not fair, but, you know, no one's going to shed a tear for them ultimately. And look, you might say Parramatta is going to be more desperate. You might say it's the ultimate revenge spot for Parra because they got their dreams destroyed last year. But I will argue that Penrith will treat this like they need redemption because Penrith got beaten by Parramatta twice last year in the regular season, including at CommBank, the game where Cleary got sent off for that spear tackle and then they didn't really have a chance to win. So I know Parramatta wants to win. I just, sometimes when you play Penrith, it doesn't matter how much you want it. They don't let you have it. I think Penrith's going to take great pleasure in putting another nail in this early coffin for Parramatta this year. I don't take pleasure in saying that, but I just think it's going to be really tough sledding tomorrow night. Penrith doesn't want to go 1-2. And I think not only will they win, but they could put on a bit of a show.
You know what? I think if any team would really love to stick it to Parra and make them go 0-4, which stats show it's, I believe it's impossible to win a premiership after that stat, it is their rivals, the Penrith Panthers. There does seem to be some genuine dislike between these sides. That being said, I am seeing this one slightly different to you, Winnie, but it's more of a gut feel. I'm going to tip the Eels off that gut feeling I had last week with the Warriors and the Titans for upsets. I will say the Panthers have won 6 of their last 8 against the Eels, but the 2 they did lose were indeed in the regular season and at CommBank. But I guess there is a key consideration there, as you touched on, the Nathan Cleary send-off probably did sway that heavily in the Eels' favour. As I say, it's a gut feeling. I think the Eels are a little bit too classy to start this season 0-4, and I certainly don't think they've been out of games to any extent where I believe they're an 0-4 side. They've been really close. It's not an easy game against Panthers, but I do feel they've been very, very close to these games, and they might have enough desperation to sort of get over the line there. With that being said, though, Penrith are coming off the bye, which so far this season, it looks like that's a huge factor. We still don't have enough data to sort of say that confidently how important the bye is, but certainly so far it does look like it's a factor, and that's in Penrith's favour as well. All things said, I will definitely acknowledge this is a gut feeling tip. It's an outsider tip. I expect everyone will be against me, and I completely agree with a lot of the reasoning you offered there, Winnie. And I will say for punters, if you don't like the Eels or you do like the Eels, maybe you could consider, if you're interested in a multi on this one, Mike Acevo. He scored 38 tries in his past 39 at CommBank. It's definitely a ground that he loves, and I think he'll be on Sunia Taruva's side, who isn't as experienced in the NRL defensively, so potentially an opportunity there for Acevo to crash over.
BG versus BG.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what the odds look like there. There might not be enough value to justify that, but certainly a strike rate of 38 from 39 is very, very impressive indeed. Friday night, we've got the Storm up against the West Tigers at Amy Park. The line is set at -9.5 in Storm's favour. For the Storm, Jerome Hughes last night, guys, was unsuccessful in overturning his dangerous contact charge, which means he'll miss the next 2 games, this one included. I know what you guys are thinking. No Taylor May rules here. He has to serve the ban now. Munster does return in the halves. That's about 90%. It's not 100%. And he's looking like he'll partner Jonah Pezzett, who debuted last round. For the Tigers, fair few changes here, guys, particularly around their spine. Adam Dwayhe, or Dewey, moves to fullback. That moves Brandon Wakeham to 5'8". Charlie stays to the wing. Norfoluma has been dropped, and I think he's going to sign with the Storm, but that's a story for another day. Papali'i returns from his suspension. And here's an interesting one, Winnie. I thought Joe Offerhand-Gowie was one of their best last year. He's been dropped for Alex Saifarth. So a lot of changes there for the Tigers. Storm without their halfback. How are you seeing this one?
That's such a big loss. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not sure what the Storm thought they were fighting. Like, it seemed like a regulation kind of shoulder charge by Hughes if they thought he was going to get off just because he is a halfback. And by fighting it, he's got 2 weeks, which means he won't play next week against the Roosters as well. I think that's right. No, Roosters game is in another couple of weeks. Sorry, but he's still going to miss 2 games regardless. So for me, the absolute key in this one is Munster 100% back, because I still heard that he had to still be medically cleared this week because he had a rod or something in there from the surgery, right? I mean, I would not play the Storm right now. What if you played the Storm today and then found that actually Munster, like, he's not cleared, he can't go? They could lose at home again. But if Munster's in there, then I feel like, for the same reasons I tipped Melbourne last week, which were wrong, but I still feel the same way, that like a Melbourne side responds historically after a bad loss under Bellamy. You make it back-to-back losses, I really feel like this is a pivotal point in their season early on, regardless. It's just like, if they can't come out and play with their hair on fire, the Melbourne Storm, after two really disappointing performances, then you're just going to question this. Does this squad have it? It doesn't even matter about personnel anymore. That they've got to come out and prove a point here in front of their home fans, given that they gave up 38 points last weekend and lost at home and were losing 26-0 at one stage. So I tend to believe that the Storm will, even though they have these deficiencies. I think that, you know, again, assuming Munster comes back, and although Hughes won't be there, Pezzett looked pretty good, and you've still got Harry Grant, you still do have some rep forwards. And, of course, this Tigers side, that's the other issue, is what do we make of them? Now, a lot's been made of their position change. Look, to me, 20 to go, whatever it was, you switched Dewey to fullback, you're down 20, you had Wakeham on the bench, so you wanted to bring him on. The other thing is you didn't have your first-choice fullback last week. You know, Laurie was injured, so Staines was at fullback. Staines can naturally play wing. It made sense, right? Now, they scored three tries. I don't really want to get into all that again. But does that prove the switch worked? I don't really know if it was, like, because Dewey was fullback or because Wakeham was there. I don't even know if those players necessarily, you know, were instrumental in those tries. But now Laurie's back and you're going to play him on the bench and you're going to switch your 5'8" and your halves partner that you've trained all preseason with to fullback. It just seems quite a strange decision by Sheens. For me, and going back to that three-try blitz again, it's a tough one because how much do you read into that in terms of what the Tigers are made of? Like, if you didn't watch the game last weekend, people are going to look at the scoreline at Belmore, 26-22, and say it was an improvement. In fact, the Tigers nearly won the game. But was it, or was it a fluke? Again, I don't want to just call it a fluke because of sour grapes. Maybe I am a bit salty, but to me it was, you know, it was pretty out there and not something that I would expect they could replicate whatsoever again. So basically what I'm saying is I find both these sides quite unpredictable. They've tossed up performances that I haven't really seen coming. And again, I don't know 100% about Munster. So I'm just going to wait for any confirmation on that and see how this one pans out.
I completely agree. If Munster's out, I could probably, you know, if Munster does get ruled out and you took the Tigers now at +9.5, for example, that's an unreal bet, I believe.
I think they were 12.5 before Hughes got ruled out. Something at least double digits, at least 10.5. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you'd be loving sitting on that ticket, especially if Munster is ruled out. I will say some of the Tigers' changes are crazy. Probably the only thing crazier, as you said, was challenging that by Hughes. I mean, he left the ground. We saw with Wade Graham, you can't do it anymore. As soon as you leave the ground, it's dangerous contact in the eyes of the NRL. So thought that was quite silly by the Storm. I am going to tip the Storm here, though. I'm sorry, Tigers fans, but I just can't see you guys getting that much-needed first win of 2023 here, mainly because of what Craig Bellamy said about his side at the press conference after the Titans game. He said, it looks like I've got players out there that don't want to play for the jersey. He basically questioned their integrity and their desire to play for the Storm, which is a really scathing review when you think about the culture that that club has been able to build since they entered the competition. I will say the Storm are a tough side to face at any time in the season. Don't care what round, don't care where. But then you couple in the fact that they're coming off two losses, Bellamy's scathing review, and they're in Melbourne, then potentially that does lead to a bit of a slacking here. The stats do favour the Tigers, though. The Storm have lost, surprisingly, their last three at home, which really did surprise me. I don't like the spine changes, Winnie. I've got to be honest. I know you were kind of on the fence there a little bit. I'm prepared to come out straight away and say what happened simply cannot be repeated consistently. I don't care if you have a spine of Darren Lockyer, Jonathan Thurston, Andrew Johnson, and Cameron Smith in the NRL. You cannot consistently score three tries in 5 minutes. It was an extreme outlier. I think the fact the Tigers are clinging to that as their hope is absolutely crazy. If Brandon Wakeham came in and replaced Luke Brooks and the rest of the spine stayed the same, don't mind it. Try something new. But the fact it's round four and we're hitting the panic button and reshuffling the whole side and every combination we trained over the preseason, don't like it at all. The Storm are 7 wins from their past 7 against the Tigers. I can't see how that stat doesn't improve here. And I will offer, if you like an anytime try scorer, Nick Meaney has scored 5 tries in his past 5 against the Tigers. Again, I'm not officially tipping that to you guys, but I'm just sort of throwing out the stat there and then I guess have a look at the odds and if you like it for maybe some of your multis or a singles bet there. factor it in. But yeah, Meany, 5 from his last 5 against the Tigers there, Woody.
But then again, was he playing fullback for all those? You'd want to double check as well.
Yeah, that's it. Certainly some considerations there. Friday night, the blockbuster game that everyone is on the edge of their seats for. 2 undefeated heavyweights of this competition, really, from Queensland at Suncorp Stadium, guys. It's the Dolphins versus the Broncos. The line is set at -11.5 in the Broncos' favour. That seems a pretty big line to me. For the Dolphins, Felice Carfusi, unavailable, also unsuccessful at the judiciary, so he will miss the next 4 games. Jared Wallace returns for them. That pushes Kurt Donoghue out of the side. And for the Broncos, there is nil changes. Winnie, we're going to have a same game multi for this one. We'll touch on that at the end if you don't mind. And we'll go over to you and get your thoughts on this blockbuster.
Well, the Battle of Brisbane, maybe we should call it the Battle of Finland. Cannot wait for this game. Much anticipated. As we said in the recap, how these two teams can come in undefeated. You couldn't have scripted it any better. Unfortunately, maybe you could have scripted it better if you could have allowed Carfusi to play. I am disappointed in that suspension news. I know I said on Sunday it was probably a fair call, like fair penalty, fair sin bin. And I know the occasion shouldn't factor in. You can't let him off just because it's the biggest game of the round and it's like a huge game in this club's history. But the Dolphins tried to make the case comparing it to the Swalehi hit in round 2. And I think the fact is the NRL got the Swalehi hit so wrong. No one said it at the time, and I probably should have, but I remember seeing that hit late and violent, as all of Swalehi's hits are, just whether or not he gets them at the right time. That was a worse hit, and that one somehow avoided suspension, yet Finn Diesel is now has to sit out for a month. And then, of course, the Dolphins are still missing Marshall King, who's also suspended. As you said, on the other hand, Kevy's men are flying and they're unchanged from the side that romped home against the Dragons. And people who followed us will know I've had a best bet on Brisbane each of the past 3 weeks. So I've been a big believer in Brisbane. I think they're a genuine premiership contender. I really think they are a top 4 side. And I've made the case for them every week. Why? But what about this week? I'm not actually going to be backing them for a best bet. I'm not going to talk you out of them because I do think if people like Brisbane and they do think Brisbane's going to win well, like it's technically a home game for the Dolphins. Of course, it's at Suncorp. It's going to be a packed house. I don't think it really matters who the fans are cheering for. It's going to mean a lot to Brisbane too. Like, I guess you'd say little brother is always going to want to win a bit more, but big brother doesn't want to lose to their little brother with the whole rugby league world watching. So I kind of feel like Brisbane is going to want to remind people this is our house and this is our town. And they're just flying right now. I wouldn't want to get in front of them. I compare this game to last week against the Dragons, you know, another red and white team, and the line was identical, 11.5, and I took Brisbane as the best bet. I'd like to hear your opinion on this, Clarky, but for me, the Dolphins are as good as the Dragons in my eye, very comparable. And then, of course, it's not like a true away game like the Dragons were facing. And also, the Dolphins put in another good performance last week. And I just feel being a big rivalry and big occasion, and the Dolphins, the way that they will play and the way Bennett will coach them, they will push the boundaries of the officiating, and there can be a lot of pressure on referees, and it can all just lend itself to a tighter contest. And ultimately, Brisbane probably busts this open because they got more match winners across the park. But another reason I wouldn't take the Broncos for a big win necessarily is even if the Dolphins are down 2 tries, even 3, late in the game, they're not going to give up. They will keep fighting in front of their home fans and to, you know, restore pride. If they lose, they're not expected to win, but they don't want to get thumped. So I think they'll fight for 80, and I just can't wait. And imagine if it is close. Imagine if it's within 1 score with 10 to go. The tension at Suncorp is going to be absolutely palpable, and maybe we'll have a same game multi that's in the mix with 10 to go as well, because I will be cooking one up. So I will have to show my hand on this game a bit further on Friday, and of course you'll find that on Better. If you need a Better account, there's a link in the show description.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I know you've spoken about in previous games being stiff for the cliff, but I'm feeling a little bit flaccid about their chances in this one, if I'm absolutely honest. I just feel like the Broncos and the fact that Kevin Walters is sort of viewed as, you know, someone that's been under Wayne Bennett's whole career, I really think this whole sort of Broncos, from coach to the whole 17, are going to want to send a message. And I do think that you look at their roster and what they've been able to do to teams at certain stages this year, such as beating the Panthers in Penrith, slacking the Dragons in the final 10 minutes. I do think they've got the capability to do that. And I do think they view the Dolphins as a genuine emerging rival by the fact they are 3-0 in the competition. This could be one of the game's biggest rivalries in future years. And this could be the game that sort of people go back to and the rivalry is set and the future's judged off. Maybe not a best example, but, you know, State of Origin game one when Arthur Beetson bashes his own teammate. It kind of set the tone. I'm not saying that's going to happen here, but certainly, you know, there could be a bit of feeling in this one. That being said, I know you'll love this stat. Wayne Bennett has a great record when coaching against the Broncos. He's won 5 of his past 6 he's coached against them. And the Dolphins skipper Jesse Bromwich has won 21 games from his 23 starts across his career at Suncorp, only ever losing 2. And he debuted in like 08 or something. So your captain and your coach love beating the Broncos and love playing at Suncorp. So if you are a Dolphins fan, maybe that plus 11.5 line does look pretty tasty. I do think it'll be a little tough for that Jeremy Marshall, King, and Felice Carfusi, in all honesty. I think they're 2 of their best. I really do. So that does make me shy away from them and probably lean more towards the Broncos with the minus 11.5 there. I do have a bit of a value anytime try scorer for you guys to consider here. Ezra Mann, he's got 8 tries in his past 9 at Suncorp. We saw him score last week and, you know, sort of do that showboat, sending the message to the Dolphins. So he's up for this contest. And Selwyn Cobbo, he was part of the multi I offered last round. He's now 16 tries from his past 15 at Suncorp. So he loves playing there too. But yeah, certainly some opportunity there if you guys do like same game multis. And if you do like same game multis, then we will have our better same game multi for this Friday night game. If you'd like to sign up and prepare for this, the link is in the show description right now as we're live. Better are the new kids on the block. They're also producing content for the Fox League NRL Lab. This week, the panel put the blowtorch on the Storm and the Cowboys, and they discussed the game that we just previewed in greater detail. And of course, on the Friday prior to the game, you can find that same game multi on Clarkie's Rugby League column social medias and also the tripod. We've also hit a $7 one in round one this year. So there is, let's say, when he cooks up some value for you guys, he doesn't go shy on the odds there. Saturday.
Yeah, one that I got wrong, I had Cobbo to score and he didn't. I'm trying to remember, did Cobbo score last week? Because yep, I know he got denied. He did score. Well, I can recall the one he got denied. I actually quite liked that. I would have given that a try. You know, the deliberate tip on that he got called on the on Reynolds' kick that the Dragons couldn't defuse. I don't know. I didn't think that was so much a deliberate tip. I thought he got his fingertips. And just to respond to a couple of those stats, I mean, you're saying Bennett's got a great record, 5 of his last 6 against Brisbane. To be fair, they're probably all coaching Souths. And what did Bennett do with Souths? Took them to a prelim or a GF every year. Yeah. And Brisbane's struggled for the last few years. So I don't think, you know, there's only so much you can read into that. And as for Jesse Bromwich, well, he played for the Melbourne Storm, who have owned Brisbane for the last few years as well. It's a little bit of a different story. Now they are both representing red and white. But look, I hope that those stats bode well for the men from Finland for sure.
Yeah, I'm a stats fan. I love stats. But as you've pointed out a few times now, they don't always tell the full story, do they?
Well, you can make them tell any story you want. I guess that's the thing. But I'm sure people appreciate hearing them just for interest.
Absolutely. Saturday, it's my boys, the mighty Gold Coast Titans. We're heading to Townsville to take on the North Queensland Cowboys. For the Cowboys, a big out, Ruben Cotter. He suffered a bit of a meniscus injury in his knee, so he's out. That brings Griffin Neiman to the starting side and James Tarmo onto the bench. For the Titans, nil changes to their 17. What do you think, Winnie? Are my boys a chance or you think Cowboys?
I give your boys a chance, kind of like I said last week, but you'd have to say your boys have been the better team of these two so far in 2023, and the Titans haven't been all that good. I mean, defensively giving up more than 4 tries a game, but that just goes to show how lackluster North Queensland have been so far. And why I will tip North Queensland is because I'm wary of that bounce back factor. You still have to respect what is a good team, and the Cowboys still are a good team off disappointing performances. I covered in the recap how I really do think they're a limited footy side. I feel like they don't know who to throw the ball to change a game or to open a game up, especially with no Drinkwater there. you know, and it wasn't, none of these guys did it last week, but it doesn't mean to say they couldn't have a better game this week. I'm looking at you, Taumalolo. You know, Nanai, he was on the Kangaroos tour. You know, he needs to go to another level this year with more experience. Holmes has played for the Kangaroos numerous times. You know, Dearden got that Origin debut last year. He needs to have a better season this year. They're young players that should be on that trajectory. Is Hylian Lukey the wild card? But he is off the bench, and I think Cotter is a big loss. When I look at the Titans, I mean, in their own right, they have players that can change a game and can turn the tide. I mean, Brimson's had an awesome year. Tino does it every week. And Fifita, of course, we know what he can do on his best day. I do recall last year, Holbrook thought it would be a genius idea to play him in the centres, and he got an absolute bath. But assuming that he will play in the back row in this one, and, of course, Jaden Campbell off the bench as well could be key in hot conditions up in Townsville. Geez, I don't know what friends the Cowboys must have in the with the draw makers for the NRL, but to get all these home games and to get them Saturday afternoon or Saturday, like, early evening when it's still hot and sweltering, and maybe that helps the Cowboys get the edge over the Titans, because I could see it being close. I do know that the Titans won't go up and underestimate North Queensland. I feel like some teams might have done so a year ago, thought it wouldn't be such a tough trip up north, but teams soon figured out that wasn't the case. I mean, the Titans got belted by North Queensland a year ago, and I remember it well because we actually had a best bet on the Titans, and they got beat something like 30-6. And then the Titans couldn't even beat the Cowboys last year in an Origin week when the Cowboys had six of their best players out. So I think the Titans understand if they're not at their best, then they will get rolled in this one. But the line's over six, so it's a pretty generous line. I'm not going to touch it in either direction. I do think it's about fair, and I do think your boys are live underdogs in this one.
I certainly hope we are, but I'm not going to tip us here, unfortunately. I feel like a bit of a turncoat, but I just think the Cowboys will have a little bit too much class for us. And I do think there are some question marks over our defense after last week. Maybe I'm being a bit too tough with those really hot conditions against the Storm, but certainly it was a lot of points leaked. Whereas for the Cowboys, kind of touched on this on the recap show, I thought they were pretty defensively sound against the Warriors. It was just the Warriors had something like six sets in the Cowboys 20 and field position for majority of the game. And I think that that was sort of caused by the Warriors continuing that pressure more so than sort of game-breaking moments like the Titans might have to rely on. Titans are completing at 13th of all teams in the NRL right now, whereas the Cowboys are up in second. Therefore, I sort of put that two and two together, and I think that the Cowboys are probably a little bit more consistent on both ends, defensively and with the ball. And I think if they're able to complete at the rate they have been, they might put us under a little bit too much pressure and come away with the win there. Certainly the stats like them, they have won 12 of their last 15 against us, and we are one win from our last 11 visits in Townsville. Really, really tough stat there. For some potential anytime try-scoring action here, AJ Brimson, he scored 7 tries in his last 8 against the Cowboys in a mixture of 5-8 and fullback. But a safer option could be Murray Taulagi. He scored 12 tries in his last 13 games in Townsville. Two options there for you guys to maybe weigh up.
And maybe Taulagi's the guy that could break it, break the game open for the Cowboys. Sorry to interrupt you there, but I also thought in response to what you're saying about completion rates, you know what popped into my mind? If the Cowboys are second in the whole NRL of completions, I actually think that's a bad thing that they've played so poorly, because I'd be looking at a side who have had underwhelming results and say, oh, well, they're the 15th best of completions. In other words, they've had a lot of errors, and you feel like you can tidy that up. Like, the Bulldogs were horrible with the footy in round one, and then once they held it in round two, they're so much better. If you already are holding the footy, it goes back to my point, you're not doing enough with it. That's where I'm looking for who's going to step up and open a game up, because you do need to score points. The Titans will find their way into a few points in this one. So that's what I'll be very interested to see at Queensland Country Bank Stadium Saturday night.
I think that completion stat really does sum up sort of your takeaway, that they just don't have the game breaker at the moment. That certainly indicates that completing well but not getting the points. The round's a bit of a different one this week, Winnie. We've only got 2 games on Saturday and we've got 3 on the Sunday. So the next one on Saturday is the Rabbitohs versus the Seagulls. It's at a Core Stadium. The line is set at -4 in the Bunnies' favour. A few changes for the Rabbitohs. They have a lot of injuries. I mean, Hame Selle is now out. Shekhar Mitchell is out. That brings Jacob Hostin and Daniel Saluka Fifita into their starting side. Blake Taff moves from 18th man back to 14 on the bench. And for the Sea Eagles, there are no change to their side. Now, we have a best bet on the Sea Eagles, so maybe a little bit of extra insight into why you like them.
And as you can see, Toppy's already down to plus a flat four. So if the Bunnies were to win this game by four, you'd get your money back. But at every other bookie, it's 4.5 or 5.5. So Toppy's trying to encourage bettors onto the Bunnies, and they're a pretty sharp bookie. So I think that the right side in this game is Manly, and I would say the plus 5.5, which was our best bet on better. And it's another rematch of a game last year that was decided in the first 10 minutes due to a send-off. We talked about Nathan Cleary sent off against the Eels. Carl Lawton was sent off against the Bunnies. Mind you, Lawton's only in the reserve, so he probably doesn't get that same opportunity to redeem himself. But it's the first thing that came to mind for me, and that means you can't really put too much credence into what the score was last year, because that obviously was very decisive when you lose a player so early on. But what stands out to me this week is who Souths are missing, and you named it, and that's on top of Jai Arrow still being out. You mentioned those other key middles, and you said it in the recap that Souths lost control of the game when those players like Sele and Mitchell got injured, obviously coupled with Rhea Hargraves and Brandon Smith entered for the Roosters, certainly helped them as well in that massive derby game last week. But yeah, Souths just look a bit short on forwards, and I know Souths are better at their best than Manly, but right now, I don't know. As you say, Manly's unchanged again. They're fresh. They've only played two games this season. They played the Thursday night game last week. You know, it's Turbo versus Luttrell. I'm just not seeing much separation. I'm seeing games absolutely up for grabs. It's a prelim rematch of a couple of years ago. I think it's going to be a beauty. So it's a pretty easy bet for me when I really find it hard to split a game, but I'm getting plus 5.5 and I'm going to win if they lose by a field goal or 2 or 4 points. Simple as that. I'm going to take it as a best bet. I've also got the mixed matchup feeding into this game, but I'd like to hear how you see this one first, Clarkie. Although since you went for the audacious upset on Thursday night, I guess that means you agree with me. Are you tipping Manly outright here?
Oh, I'm really confident on Manly, if I'm absolutely honest. I'm not much of a betting man myself, but from just looking at this purely from an analytical perspective, I think the line's wrong there. I think it should sit with Manly. What have the Rabbitohs shown us this year? They had a win against the Nicho Hynes Sharks. They had a close game against the Panthers where they really didn't play that well until the final 10 minutes. And although they've just lost to the Roosters, I feel like that game was there for them to win, and there was really no excuses besides they lost their heads. Now, the stats do favour the Bunnies here. They've won their last 6 straight against Manly, and Manly have only won 1 of their past 13 at a core stadium, the Bunnies' home ground, where this one will be played. But I will say, without Junior Totola, Jai Arrow, Saliba Havili, Hame Sele, and Shekhi Mitchell, where does the spark and the consistency come in the middle for the Bunnies here? It doesn't. It doesn't for me. And you look at how the Rabbitohs play good footy, it's on the back of winning the middle. They win the middle, and that allows Cook to get out and dart early. That allows Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell time and space to link up on the left edge, and time to give Alex Johnston to get that perfect timing to, you know, run into that ball and dive into the corner. But if they don't win the middle, none of that happens. And if they don't win the middle, they get frustrated. And we saw against the Roosters, when they get frustrated, some of their players almost seem like they were more interested in push and shove than they are playing footy. So I'm really confident here. I really, really do like the Manly Seagulls. I think the fact you can get a plus head start on them is amazing. And if you were going to look at maybe adding another leg to a same game multi for this one or a separate bet, I don't think the value would be very good for this one, Winnie. But you can't look past Alex Johnston. 22 tries in his past 12 at a core. Wow. It's almost 2 tries a game. That's a... I don't think I've ever seen a strike rate like that of you.
No, that's absolutely ridiculous. But what I will say is, if you see the game close, and obviously Bunnies are going to need to have some points in him, and he's never a bad candidate, is Johnston, depending on the odds. I mean, you tipped him last week. You said to me, do you want to throw Johnston in your multi? I went Manu, so Johnston would have actually been right, but Manu was paying a lot higher odds. Way but higher. Still, Johnston was $2 on better last week. I don't know what he'd be paying this week, but when you do strongly like the opponent and think that Manly is going to succeed, then I think, you know, maybe this will be one of those games where the opportunities aren't so plentiful for the Bunny. So I wouldn't necessarily back a Bunny for an in-time price score. I might look look at the Manly side, and maybe someone like Brad Parker.
Yeah,
he's on that left edge, right where Schuster is causing teams a lot of problems, and Turbo is always a threat out the back.
Bad option.
So I guess I'm going in that direction. That I don't necessarily think Souths are going to score a lot of points. I know that Manly gave up how many, 30 last week, even though they won. But I think that was just a bit of a wild game, and it was a hot night as well. And I think Manly will also want to tighten up their defence in this one, and that's what Bunnies need to do as well. They've just come off a really tight game. So I don't know if you're going to agree with the mixed matchup this week, because you reckon the Eels have got a chance for an upset. But I am thinking that Penrith could really go big on Thursday night. And in reality, if they score anything kind of 22-plus, 24-plus against Parramatta, and it's that Penrith are the type of side that can wear you down for 60 and then hurt you late and get some cheap points, then I actually think Manly has a great chance of winning this game, as you do, and can restrict the Bunnies to 20 or under potentially. So $2.40 is our mixed matchup for Penrith to outscore South Sydney, and you can have up to 200 on that on Toppy, and our promo code is TP Live.
Great stuff. Speaking of Toppy, before we get onto the Sunday games, guys, let's go to our exclusive market insight that the CEO of Top Sport, Tristan, provides us with every single week.
Hello everyone, Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We're into round four. It's amazing how quickly it flies, and I still think there's a lot of uncertainty around where every team sits. We're still battling to price up a lot of these games because the form line just seems to be chopping and changing each week. So we've got a big weekend of rugby league coming up with the opening game of the round, the Penrith-Parramatta game, the grand final rematch, where it's been well documented how poor Parramatta have started, but they haven't been that far away in each game, but they're 0-3 at the moment. They'll be trying to bounce back, but Penrith have been supported at the 7.5. The line's actually gone 8.5 into 7.5 and then supported Penrith when it's got down to that point. One of the trickier games to price is the Storm Tigers game. Obviously Munster back, Jerome Hughes out, doubt over a few players. We got doubt over Dewey Papalihi back. So it's just been a real tricky game to price. The market hasn't moved though. It's been 9.5 and stayed there. Then will it be the maketh of the Dolphins? This game, the Dolphins have overachieved in almost every metric. I worry if this is going to be them coming back down to earth, because the Broncos have been white hot. They've been really, really good. The Dolphins obviously have had a pretty fortunate way the fixture's fallen. So this game's gone from 10.5 out to 11.5. And one of the big moves has actually been the Seagulls. They've been back from +6.5 into a flat 4. Manly have been very impressive to start the season. The Bunnies have been pretty good too. It's going to be an absolute blockbuster out there on Saturday night. And then finally, the other game that has seen a little bit of movement has been the Raiders against the Knights. Obviously, the Knights still missing a stack of players. That game's gone from 5.5 out to 7.5. One-way traffic for the Raiders. Unfortunately, the Knights are still down on troops. They've got a few guys that are doubtful, and probably the way that market's moving would indicate that it's probably likely a few are going to miss. Hope you're back a winner over the weekend, and as always, gamble responsibly.
Great stuff there from Tristan. And if you'd like to support our show and sign up to Top Sport, our unique code, Winnie just said it, it's TP Live. If you do sign up, make sure you message the Tripod page on Facebook and let us know. With that being said, guys, we've got two more games to dig our teeth into. Sorry, three more, because it's a bit of a unique round. So we open with the Warriors versus the Bulldogs in New Zealand at Mount Spark Stadium. The line is set at -1.5 in the Warriors' favours. For the Warriors, Chance Nicol-Klukstar is back. That forces Tane Tuipiki from their side. Jackson Forward, I thought he had a strong start to the year. He's back at the back row. Wade Egan is out, though, for them, replaced by Joey Lussick, as is Mitchell Barnett. He's not recovered from that neck injury just yet. For the Bulldogs, nil changes. They will line up the same as they did last round. Lion suggests this will be a very close one. Winnie, are you seeing it that way as well?
I am, for sure. I do think Egan's a big loss, and Barnett's been strong for the Kiwi outfit as well. But as you say, forward back is big, and I'm looking at Josh Curran in the reserves as well. That would offset those losses if he was to return too. Of course, this is the first game of the year at Mount Smart, because New Zealand's home opener was in Wellington, and I think that they've got the strongest home advantage of any team in the competition when they do get to play at Mount Smart, when you factor in that the travel that the other team has to go through, and just the emotions of the crowd, understanding what's gone on in the past two or three seasons. Dare I say it, if New Zealand keeps playing the way they have so far this year, there'll be an intimidation factor. There will really be a sense that this is a very tough team to beat at home if they carry on that early season form. And again, is this just a couple of games and it's gone their way, or is this kind of a new era and has Webster really got this side really, really firing? Because I'm looking at the Warriors as a high completion side. I don't know if you have the top of your head, Clarkie, when you looked at those completion stats, they'd have to be probably top five in that department. The forwards are really aiming up. And then, as we discussed on the recap, their men in key positions are really finishing their sets strongly and not giving anything easy to the opponent. And although the Dogs, I believe, are the better team, and if you ask me right now who's going to finish higher on the ladder, I'd still say the Bulldogs, and they've got a higher ceiling. You know, it's still a matter of the game being in New Zealand and the fact that I've got to respect the Warriors' form. And as I said about the Tigers, I don't know what to do with those 4 minutes of hell for us at Belmore. How much do you read into that for the Bulldogs? You know, are you going to downgrade them a bit, or are you still going to say they were utterly dominant for the majority of that match and they were dominant for actually one whole game in Melbourne and then three quarters last week? Maybe you give them a pass and maybe you say, yes, they gave it up three tries. That's only going to make them more focused and more ruthless and give Serraldo good ammo to keep drilling his team and get the best out of him this week. So I could definitely see this game going either way. And if I have to pick it, I'm just going to lean to the home side. And that's exactly what the odds are reflecting. And I think a lot of people are going to kind of feel the same way. So I'll sit out of it, but I definitely expect a tight one.
I'm kind of on the fence for this one too. Warriors are completing equal second highest at 81%. But what's impressive about that is when they have the most decoy runs, most line breaks, and most line break assists of any team over the first three rounds. So not playing conservative footy by any means. I can see why the Warriors are favourites here, pretty much for the exact reasons you said. But I do lean with the Bulldogs here, just not with any great confidence. I did annoy Warriors fans this week on the page. I had a follower take saying Andrew Webster has completely turned this side around and they're a genuine top eight chance. And I had to disagree. I said, look, I just haven't got enough data over three rounds or anything to really sway me to 100% say that's the fact. I've got to... this is a bad one for Warriors fans. I'm so sorry to bring this up. Look, they beat the Cowboys last year by 1 point and then they lost their next two games. One of those games they lost was to 60 points to the Melbourne Storm. So history shows us that, you know, they can have a great week and beat a great side last year like the Cowboys were and then just completely derail again. And although that could be the old Warriors, we just don't have enough evidence to 100% say they're sort of over that as a club. Certainly if they win here, they go a long way to proving that they are over that hurdle there. I do think no Wade Egan really hurts them. I think he's been one of their best this year. Very creative at a dummy half, which does get their forwards on the advantage line, whereas Freddie Lussick is more of a service dummy half. Doesn't hurt them too bad, though, because Sean Johnson and Tamari Martin, with the form they're in, maybe you just want them getting the ball from the hooker. The Bulldogs have not won at Mount Smart since 2011. And the Warriors have won their last four against the Bulldogs. So stats go the Warriors' way here, you would say. But as I say, I've just got some question marks over the Warriors' consistency still winning. Maybe that's unfair, but I just can't sort of overturn what I know about the Warriors over the past 3 years based on three rounds this season. So for that reason, I'm going to tip the Bulldogs with not too much great confidence. I wish I could sit on the fence. I'll give you a tip. If you want some anytime try score of value here, guys, Edward Coursey, he has 5 tries in his last 3 at Mount Smart Stadium, all on the wing. And Josh Adokar is in some try scoring form. He's got 19 tries in his last 21 NRL games. So 2 there maybe to consider if you like. Following that, it is the Knights versus the Raiders at McDonald Jones Stadium. For the Knights, Daniel Saifidi is named, but I will say monitor that because he did undergo scans on a suspected AC joint shoulder injury, which is typically a 2 to 4 week injury. Jaden Brayley and Jack Johns return for them. Greg Marzu's back. He had a great week last week in New South Wales Cup winning try assist, 8 tackle breaks, 250 metres. He replaces Dom Young, who's actually been dropped. And Kurt Mann is back for them at lock. That's another big inclusion. For the Raiders, massive inclusion. Josh Papali'i is back. He's recovered from his calf injury. That forces Trey Mooney out of the side. And of course, Danny Levi unavailable with that fractured jaw, which brings Zach Wolford back to hooker. How are you seeing this one? Can the Knights get it done at home? Or you think the Raiders are going to make it back-to-back wins?
Well, Brayley gives them a chance, and Brayley is a big in, but then as if they needed any more injuries, as you say, Daniel Saifidi, the shoulder concerns. So will he play? And if he does, is he limited? Frizzell in the reserves, probably unlikely to play, but would be a big boost to this Knights side. They're getting some troops back, but on the other side of it, Papali'i to come back for the Raiders is massive because I feel like their pack has really stood up in all three games and look pretty solid without him, to be fair. Now you add him in there, it's going to be formidable for anybody, especially a depleted Knights side. Look, speaking of Brayley being back, you know, he was ruled out HIA 2 weeks ago against the Tigers, 11-day mandatory stand down it is now, I think, and he's back in, right? Ponga was in the same boat. I know that Ponga's had more of the repeat concussions, but I was just surprised that no one's really spoken about Ponga. Like, is there any update? Is there any? Has anyone got any clue, like, when he even might return?
So I do my rolling State of Origin sides every Friday based on previous round form. I've taken him out this week for Reece Walsh, and I've taken him out under the guise that there's been no medical update. So no one's sure what's actually going on there.
So that's ominous because obviously they're going to follow the best medical advice. Maybe their medical advice is he's okay, or maybe they're being extra cautious. I do know last year he was eligible to come back for the last couple of rounds. They held him out. So you'd like to hope that they're just doing it to be extra cautious and not that they're overly concerned. But it's obviously such a tough situation. And, of course, they miss him. That goes without saying. And we spoke about last week, one of the main reasons the Raiders won was just pure desperation, being at home, needing that win, just wanting it a bit more than the Sharkies. And once they got in front, not letting it go. Then that's why I probably should have been on for a best bet. I feel like I let that one slip. I just didn't really believe in the Raiders enough. Look, I had them, I think, more like 11th this year. And then you had no big Papa, as I said. And I've questioned not having a proper first-choice fullback. But the Raiders have plugged these holes. And as we said about the Knights, they've got more. They're really undermanned still at this point. We just mentioned they don't even know when their best player is coming back. A lot of experience is still on the sidelines. So I could only play the Raiders, but you'd have to lay a decent number. This is over a converted try, and it is in Newcastle. Now, people may say, what does that mean? Because I think the Knights have got one of the worst records at home recent memory. But to me, I still think it should be a home advantage because it is still a passionate crowd, and it should serve as additional motivation, the fact that they've been so bad at home, that they should give their paying followers something to cheer about. So I'm not going to go against Newcastle because I do give them a shot in this one. And I think that it could be a tight finish, even though it'll be a tough one for them to win.
I will just say Tonum Allum here. I think he's given me a spray saying, Ferret, come on, mate. I tipped the Tigers last week. Give me a break. I don't know if you saw, this is a little bit off topic, but did you see what Royce Hunt said about Corey Horsburgh in the media today?
No, I saw the clash on Sunday. What did he say?
He basically said he said he's a weak gutted dog and we're going to bash him next time we play. So I just had to get that on the show. That's exciting for the next time they play. Look, my first note here, Winnie, you've stolen my thunder. It was about the Knights' record at McDonald Jones. I actually said that I don't believe it holds any home ground value anymore because their fans do turn up. Their fans are passionate. Their fans love footy. But they're one win from their past 12 at the stadium. And let me tell you, that one win, I drove 6 hours from Canberra for it. So that kind of sums up my luck as a Titans fan. Frizzell is named in the reserves. If he recovers in time, certainly you could lean to the Knights a little bit more. I'm still with the Raiders here. I still favour them. I do think last week will be a bit of an awesome confidence booster for them. Sort of, you know, we've been close, but now we're over the hurdle. Let's make it two in a row. Let's get our season, you know, sort of rolling with a little bit of momentum. I think that'll be Ricky's message throughout the week. All things considered here, it should be a close game. The Knights do have some big name players back, but I just think the Raiders are a little bit better of a football side this year. Some possible anytime try scorer values, guys. Hudson Young and Bradman Best are both three tries from their past three games, obviously versing each other's teams there in the same position, being that center and back row. Maybe something there to consider. Final game of the round. It is a rivalry matchup. I'm excited for this one, actually. It's the Dragons versus the Sharks at Nostrada Jubilee Stadium. For the Dragons, Toby Couchman returns from his head knock. That forces Michael Molo out of the side. Junior Amone, he is still in reserves. He was great in New South Wales Cup last week when he had two try involvements, five tackle breaks, two line break involvements. Maybe we see him come to the 17. Not confirmed yet. For the Sharks, I know Sharkies fans love this one. Nyco Hines returns for his first game. That pushes Braden Trindle to the bench, and Jack Williams is out. I think a unique line at just six. Usually it's the 6.5, right? Is that anything to look into there? And how are you seeing this one?
We did also have a flat line in the Manly South Sydney game. You're right, the bookies tend to prefer to be on the half point. When you're on a key number like six, I guess the bookies can be tentative to push it a full point because the difference between a 6.5 and a 5.5 is pretty big. And this game was 5.5 today, and I think it still is 5.5 in most places. So the fact that Top Sport, you can read into the Top Sport lines when they're different, the fact that they've gone to six means they don't necessarily want Sharks money, and they're more so enticing the punters to maybe take the Dragons. So they're telling you that Sharks could be the play. And I do lean to Cronulla in this one. I'm with you. Great rivalry game to end the round. And two teams that have given good accounts of themselves every week this season, to be honest. Although the Sharks have lost twice and the Dragons lost by 20 last week, they've actually been respectable in every game, both of these sides. And Nico is a huge in, clearly, winning the Dally M last season, and they've been cautious with him. So you know that his calf should be cherry ripe in this one. I had speculated that he may take Moylan's spot, but he's taken Trindle's spot. Trindle's reverted to the bench. I trust Fitzgibbon knows more than me, and he knows what's best. I look at the Dragons. I feel like the Dragons are that sort of team, that they're solid first-grade team. They don't have, you know, a top-four roster. If everything went well and they won a bunch of close games and everyone played to their best of their ability, yeah, they could challenge top eight. Reality, they're probably, you know, probably at the level somewhere between a 10th to 14th in the league. But what they will do is they'll fight hard in games. They'll give an honest account of themselves as long as they haven't kind of given up on the year. And it's obviously early. And they gave a great fight in Brisbane and gave us a scare for our best bet. Whereas the Sharkies, they're also going to be very honest and they're going to fight hard, but they've got levels that they can go to. They've got a couple levels higher than St. George can reach for sure. And that's similar to how I felt about the Dragons game last week when I did take Brisbane as a best bet. But the reason I won't play the Sharks this time around is, well, the Dragons were away last week. This time they are at home at NetStrata Jubilee. That does swing a big difference. As well as that, I do believe the Broncos are actually better and scarier than the Sharkies right now. So I felt a bit more confident with Brisbane last week. And finally, the Dragons showed me enough in the first 70 last week to make me respect them just that bit more and not wanting to lay the points against them. So I think this can be a good game. And I think the Lions probably fare where it is with the underdog. Again, a legitimate chance at getting the 2 points.
Yeah, you don't have to remind me that NetStrata is a bit of a home advantage, missing the round two recap only to have my heart broken. Zaya, absolutely I am, brother. I can see more Kieran Foran vibes. What is going on here? This is unreal. This is the best show ever. Jason Livingston. Now, I was in the Navy with this bloke. When the Roosters were goal-kicking in a stadium with 30,000 people, he genuinely yelled out boo and tried to spook the kicker. So give him a spray in the comments. The line has changed back to 6.5, Paul says on Toppy, and Maddie says Mighty Cogra, as, yeah, I found out the hard way. Which Dragon side do we get here, though, Winnie? Do we get first 70 minutes Dragons, or do we get last 10 minutes Dragons? Because that could also have a big influence on this result. You would like to think they learned their lesson not to sort of slack off and potentially stay in that game for the full 80 minutes, though. All in all, with Nyco Hines back, I think it would be silly for me to tip against the Sharks. I'm not sure about the line. Forgive me there, guys. But I certainly think with Hines back, the Sharkies should have enough to get it done with the reigning Dally M medalist returning. The Sharks have won their past five straight games against the Dragons. I can't really see an upset on the cards here. Anytime try score of value, again, I've got one from each side, sorry. Will Kennedy and Mikaeli Ravalawa, both consistent players in the same position. They have scored four tries in their past four games against each other's clubs, so maybe some value between those there. But yeah, to sum it up, I am with the Sharkies in this one, Winnie. That does it for our preview of the games.
Anything well, let me just jump in. Yeah, a couple more things. So from a punting perspective, this is important too, because you just said Toppy's gone to 6.5. So I was just looking on my phone then. So every other bookie's at $5.50 on this game. But Toppy's at $6.50. That's a genuine advantage for the punter. There's about a 20-cent difference in price of what those two lines should be. If you like the Dragons, you've got to play them on Toppy and play the plus 6.5. A game can land Sharks by exactly six, you know, one in every 15 times. and it's really very consistent over a season, long term. That's the difference between a loss and a win. And obviously, if you like the Sharks, that's where having multiple bookies at your disposal comes into play. You obviously want to play -5.5, and you may want to play it soon because you're seeing the direction Top Sport's moving. That may be a cue of which direction the market might move. And another note about Top Sport, why you might want to have an account, is you might want to get on Clarkie's favourite try scorer tip for the round, which they have given us the best price in the market on. And you said you like the Sharkies, so take it away, Clarkie.
Yeah, this week I've gone with Sione Katoa. If you guys aren't familiar with this segment, basically every week Top Sport will give me the option to select a try scorer that I think will cross over for the round. This week I am going with Sione Katoa from the Cronulla Sharks, a noted try scorer. And with Nico Hines back, I do get the feeling that Sharks will play both sides of the field a lot. With him gone, certainly Matt Mullen being a left side player, they have favoured Ronaldo Mulitalo's side. But my personal viewpoint is with Hines coming back, they should be able to play both sides of the field pretty effectively. And that does open up Sione Katoa as a huge chance to cross over for a meat pie. What odds did we get on that, Winnie?
Yeah, so $2 odds, they are a favourite, and he is a winger that finds his way to the line pretty often, but he's as low as $1.83 elsewhere. And, like, obviously anybody can pick any try scorer anywhere, but the thing, the beauty of this segment is that Top Sport will deliberately go above the market and stand out. And you can play him right now if you want to try and go for a double up, or you can put him in your same gamer right now. So you might go Sharks into Katoa or something like that. You're going to get that for the next hour or so on Toppy only, that price, which is going to be the best in the market. So I think you're dead even so far this season, Clarky, because you've had three goes, but you did get AJ Brimson at $3 in round one. So that would put you back to the drawing board, back to square, which is pretty good because they're having a bit of fun, and try score bets are tough to win. And that's why I appreciate your, you know, you're flagging some options for people to look at with some of the stats, but you are saying they might be value because it all depends on the odds. That any bet can be value depending on the odds you get. And with Clarkie's try scorer tip of the week, you do know you're getting the best available across the marketplace.
And particularly with try scorers, right, Winnie, it's so really tough to, you know, pick them consistently. Even this week, I've got the top 10 most likely players to score. The highest is Alex Johnson at 65%. And as we touched on, he's almost scored two every game in the past 12 at that stadium. I think that really sums up how tough it is. But guess who the second most likely is to score using Wiki AI's prediction model? Sione Katoa at 58%. Another potentially great reason to take him there. Yeah, I like him. If you guys like him and you want to back him, please do so. And please gamble responsibly. With that being said, that is our preview of the round four NRL season. Of course, we'll be back to recap the entire round Sunday after the final game, usually around 8:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. And we look forward to seeing you guys there and talking all our best bets from the round and how we went with our tips. Until then, guys, enjoy the footy this round. Have a great weekend, and we look forward to seeing you then. Thank you very much.
Lego.